Welcome to another teaching from City Life Church Wollongong. For more information about our church, log on to www.citylife.org.au.
Come along tonight. We've got a really special service here at 5:30 and also the guys at Shell Harbour at 4:30. Both services are real Easter focus. And I encourage you, don't just stay at home watching the telly. Come along, worship God. Have your heart stirred. Let God do something. Invite someone to come with you. It's a great opportunity to tonight here. We'll be looking at who is Jesus, and with various presentations about who is Jesus. What is that really all about? The Shell Harbour guys always have wonderful stuff. What's actually coming up? What's your next thing? Have you got a next thing?
Depends what you're journaling.
I noticed Adrian's always got stuff on his wrist, and I noticed he's got his Occupy bracelet on there, and that's been a theme for the Shell Harbour guys, is Occupy, which is just fantastic, as they really just want to be in the place of God's calling. And I encourage you, I know some of you regularly come on a Sunday night to Shell Harbour at 4:30 and just support what's happening there. I encourage you to do that. Again, why would you just stay at home watching the telly when we've got people who are planting a new outreach point for our church? And you could just come along and support that, encourage that. I don't get it. Maybe you understand why you do that. I don't understand why that happens. And so I encourage you, come along and support what God's doing in the life of our church. Romans 10 verses 9 and 10. We've actually got the domain. We're getting ready to launch a website that's called Three Questions. Is that just called Three Questions? threequestions.com.au. We'll get it right. threequestions.com.au. The reason that we're doing that, and we'll launch that more and we'll show you pictures of it and stuff, is we want to help people to actually share the gospel with other people, the good news of Jesus Christ. And it really does come down to some really simple questions. Who is God? Who is Jesus? And what about the resurrection? I've had opportunity to present the message of Jesus to some people in the last few months over a period of time and to actually go into it in some depth. And as I thought about that, as I thought about that presentation, I really came down to those three things. Who is God? We have a creator. I was thinking about it on the way in this morning, you know. Someone who doesn't believe in God, in a creator, has a completely illogical position in life. It just doesn't make any sense. They are people who believe in something out of nothing. They accuse us, those of us who are of faith, of being blind and ridiculous. But when you think about creation, when you think about the existence of our universe, the material reality of life, then it is completely ridiculous not to believe in some sort of creative origin. It just doesn't make sense. Anyway, I'm not going to go on about that today, but it just has been resonating with my heart how ridiculous it is and how lacking in academic rigor it is to not believe in a creative origin. It just doesn't make any sense. So that question, who is God? Who is Jesus? Was he the Son of God, or was he just some weirdo in Jerusalem? What was going on with Jesus? And the last one, what about the resurrection? And today, this morning, I want us to focus on that. Third question, come to me to Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. In fact, I might read from verse 8. It says really simply, Paul the Apostle describing to the church how it is that you can get right with God and how it all works. And he says, the word is near you, it's in your mouth and in your heart. That is the message concerning faith that we proclaim. If you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with the heart that you believe and are justified, and it's with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. With the heart, you believe. And what do you believe in? You believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Something that most people will find quite difficult to believe in, except that around about a third of the world's population actually believe it. Believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Not a normal thing, not a natural thing, but a supernatural thing that separates Jesus from everybody else on the planet. who said, I will die for you, and on the third day I will rise again. And you cannot be a Christian, you cannot be right with God if you do not believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If that doesn't resonate with your heart and your spirit, then you are not a Christian. Let's be clear about this. If you don't have a resonation in your heart that Jesus is risen from the dead, then you're simply not right with God. If you've got questions around that, you don't believe it, you're not sure about it, then the Holy Spirit has not spoken to you and you are not yet right with God, and you need to open your heart to the Holy Spirit so that you can have something stir in your heart that makes you recognize on this day more than any day that Jesus is risen from the dead. And when you believe in that, and when you then make a statement that says, He is the Lord of my life, then you are saved and not before. And if you're sitting here today and you think, I want to be the ruler of my life and I want to do what I want to do, then you are not a Christian. You are not saved. You are not right with God. If you're sitting here today and you're saying, I'm only halfway there and I don't think I really want God to be in charge of my life, then make no mistake, you are not a believer yet. You are not right with God yet. You need to come to a place where you say, Jesus not only is risen from the dead, but He is the Lord of my life. And when you watch that video and you see that blood flow down that cross, you go, that's the Lord of my life. That's the Lord of my life. And if it doesn't stir your heart, then friend, you're not there yet. And you need to get there. You need to get to a place where you understand that Jesus bled and died for you, that He rose from the dead so that you would know that God loves you and that you would be able to give your life in service and honor of Him. That's what Easter's all about. I love Easter. I love it. It's absolutely magnificent that our Savior, our Lord, came and died for us and rose again for us. Amen. I'm not supposed to be preaching that. But anyway, it's all good. We're justified by the belief in our heart. We're made right with God by the belief in our heart that Jesus is risen from the dead. And we confess Him, and so we're saved. But I want us to focus today on the core challenge of that. How am I going to believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ? How, if someone comes to me and says, so-and-so died, but now they're out of the tomb, and I saw them the other day, we had lunch together, and then they went to be in heaven with God. What am I going to do with that? How am I going to deal with that? If one of my friends comes to me, and someone I maybe haven't seen for a while, and they say, well, my friend Bob, he died, he was killed, and then he rose again from the dead. We sat down, had breakfast together, and then I watched him ascend into heaven. It was really quite remarkable. How am I going to deal with that? How many people here are going to believe? No one's going to believe that. I'm going to be, this guy is a lunatic. There's something seriously wrong with this chap. Someone get the lithium, please. He's got some problems. I mean, it's lithium used to be. Anyway, don't worry about it. And you know what I'm talking about? How am I going to believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ? 2,000 years ago. It's a long way back in history. How do I know that this is true? How do I know that Easter is right? How do I know that today is Resurrection Sunday? How do I know that any of that's right and true? I'm glad you asked the question. Have a look in John 20. Let's go. And this is one of the basic stories that I think we're going to have on our Three Questions website, because I just love the story, not only because my name is in it, but because it represents us. In John chapter 20, I want to read from verse 19. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders. Great picture of their mindset, isn't it, at that point in time. One of the great evidences of the resurrection is the transformation of the disciples, just by the by, and we'll maybe get to that in a minute. They were in fear of the Jewish leaders. Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. What an amazing experience to have seen Jesus killed, to have seen Him put into a tomb and a guard set across that tomb so that nobody could touch Him or remove the body. And then some days later, to have Him appear in the midst of you as a risen man. What an amazing experience. an amazing experience. Jesus came, he said, "Peace be with you." And after he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Jesus brings them into the heart of the kingdom of God. What an amazing experience to have. But there was one guy missing, wasn't he? And who was that? Thomas, my mate. Now, Thomas, also known as Didymus. Didymus is just another name. Both names mean twin. Thomas in Aramaic, Didymus in Greek. The other way around. They just mean twin. That's all they mean. Thomas or Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, and here we are, the other disciples, his mates, said to him, "We have seen the Lord." Now, what's the reaction? What's the response going to be from this guy that didn't see it for himself, but his friends are all telling him, "We've seen Jesus"? Here's the response. He says to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hands into his side, I will not believe." I will not believe. I think that's the position that many people put themselves in. Isn't it interesting that Jesus lets Thomas sit with that for a week? I find that interesting. A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." What a wonderful thing. His message to them all the time, "Peace be with you." Peace. That's not just some light little peace. This is the Jewish shalom. This is the wholeness of completion. Jesus is saying, "Let your life be whole and complete, lacking nothing." It's an amazing statement of blessing. "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas, there's a whole lot of subtext here, isn't there? What happens with Thomas? And he is, this guy is just now a mess, isn't he? I mean, he is just messed up big time. He knows, he realizes how ridiculous he's been, but he does the right thing. And Thomas says to him, "My Lord and my God." There it is. He believes in the resurrection with his heart, and he makes confession with his mouth. "You're my Lord and my God." In this moment, Thomas comes into that presence of the kingdom of God. It's an amazing thing. Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. I want to present to you today two ways of believing, and I want you to make a choice. Which way are you going to believe? There's two ways that you can believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I want you to think about it today. Which way are you taking? Which way are you adopting in your life? Not just in the resurrection, but in the whole of your life, in all of the directions and the decisions that you make, in the exercise of your faith. What way are you exercising? There's two ways to believe. And the first way is the physical eye that you can see. And the second way is the spiritual eye that you see with your heart. And they are two different things completely. Thomas is doing the first. Jesus is blessing the second. So I guess the choice is pretty straightforward, which way I think you ought to go. But let's go through it here today, because you can believe in the resurrection from either of those points of view, either seeing with the eye or seeing with the heart and sensing with the spirit what's true. And I have a belief that you really can't get saved until you sense with the heart the truth of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And when you sense with the heart the truth of the resurrection of Jesus, that opens the way to the kingdom of God for you. And I want to encourage you to get there. But seeing the first thing, this is not going to be a normal 1-2-3 message, okay? So you're taking notes, just keep following through. It'll all be there. But the first thing, part A, if you like, is seeing with the physical eye. Seeing with the physical eye. And this is what Thomas says in verse 25, "Unless I see it, unless I touch it, I will not believe it." How many people have we heard say that? How many people have been represented in books and in movies and TV shows? Unless I see it, it's kind of like that's the message. That's the anti-God, anti-Christian message of our world. Unless I see it, unless I feel it, unless I touch it, I will not believe. How many understand that God does not operate on that level? Whatever, I don't understand, whatever's going on, I understand, as I said before, not believing in a creative force in the universe, to me, makes no sense. Where is the beginning of everything if it's not with a creative force? Now, we can then debate over that eternal being and who that eternal being is and what it looks like and all the rest of that. But my understanding, the logic just leads me down to one course. There has got to be an eternal being if the universe exists. That just has to be a logical consistency. But how then is that eternal being going to communicate with us? And he is clearly not just fronting up with big skywriting and all that sort of stuff like Hillsong Church and their, what is their thing? This cross love. That's great. Did you know that? The Hillsong have been skywriting over the major cities of Australia, cross love or cross equals love. It's fantastic. God's not doing that. God's not doing big things across the sky, and he's not just showing up in your bedroom and saying, "G'day, how are you?" That's not how the eternal being is communicating with us. But that's what Thomas wants. He wants the eternal being to come and to prove himself to Thomas. And Thomas is placing himself above God at that point. It's an arrogant, pride-filled place to be at. And Thomas has placed himself in that place and said, "I want to see it and I want to touch it or I'm not going to believe." And his heart needs to change. His heart needs to change. But you can see, Hebrews 11 verse 1 tells us, see, that dependence on evidence, on hard evidence, that's the enemy of faith. It's the enemy of faith. Because you will never step out trusting in God if you're just going to be on hard evidence. At some point, faith is required. And Hebrews 11 tells us, Hebrews 11, 1 says, faith is confidence in what we hope for, and especially the second bit, and assurance about what we do not see. God is engaged with faith. That's how he set it up. That's how he wants it. We engage with God with faith, not just with hard evidence. Now, I don't want to go into the hard evidence of the resurrection too much because that's not really the emphasis of my message this morning. Suffice it to say, we can get into the apologetic argument on the veracity of the New Testament and the manuscript evidence, and we can do all of that, and there's websites and books and all that, and it's fantastic. We know that the New Testament, for example, is the most authoritative ancient manuscript of all. If you don't believe in the accuracy of the New Testament, then you don't believe in any ancient history. You don't believe in Plato. You don't believe in Socrates. You don't believe in the philosophy of the Greeks. You don't believe in anything if you don't believe the New Testament is what it is. Because it's just the most powerful ancient book of all. It by far better. Closer age of the manuscript evidence, much more evidence, much more manuscript evidence, much more consistency in the translation of that manuscript. I mean, we could go into that. The New Testament is the most powerful piece of ancient writing that you can get your hands on. Forget about everything else. The New Testament is far and away the most authoritative ancient manuscript. And we can go into that, and I'd be happy to go into that with you. We know that we have the eyewitness testimony. Whether we believe what they say or not, we know that it is eyewitness testimony. We know that these are people who saw it at the time, wrote about it within their lifetime. We know that's what we have in our hands. So we can take that. We know that there was an empty tomb. We know that there are enemies around who did not want the resurrection story going forward. And if they could have produced the dead body of Jesus at any point, they would have done. And the Jews had charge of Jesus' body and of the tomb, and they could have produced his body at any point, anytime they like. We know, if they had it, we know that there was a political conspiracy to try to cover up the resurrection of Jesus. We know that. It's in the history. We see it. We read about it. It's testified to. The soldiers that were bribed to say, we were asleep. If they were bribed, the reason that the Jewish authorities tell them it's going to be okay, you say you're asleep, we'll keep you, was if they were asleep in guard on that tomb, then what was their penalty? Death. they would have been killed. Their punishment was death for going to sleep guarding that tomb. And so the Jewish authority says, we'll keep you safe if you'll just say that you're asleep. And the disciples came and stole the body away. We know that there was cover-up, but at no point, when hundreds of witnesses at the time were saying, we've seen Jesus risen from the dead, at no point did the Jewish authorities bring the body of Jesus out and put it on the wall and say, there you go, he's not alive, he's dead. We know. We can go through all of that. I can intellectually argue for the case of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and I am happily convinced on that basis alone in the truth of the resurrection of Jesus. But I want to say to you today, that's not going to get anybody saved. That's not going to get anyone saved. It'll help you in your faith to understand that our faith has a really sound academic origin and has got rigorous discipline around its thinking. That'll help, but it's not going to get anyone saved. Because Jesus said, blessed are those who believe, even if they haven't seen. And that's the one I want to get to. That's part B. The first part, seeing with the eye. The second part, sensing with the heart. Sensing with the heart. And Jesus said, greater blessing is there for those who have not seen and yet have believed. I thought about that. What's the greater blessing? What's the greater blessing for those who believe in Jesus without having seen it? And the first one is pretty obvious. The greater blessing is the salvation that we receive. We become right with God because of what Jesus has done. The resurrection makes us right with God. It demonstrates Jesus' power over death. It demonstrates his power over sin. It tells us that it's finished, it's done, and access has been made to God. So the first blessing is obviously salvation. But there is another blessing that I began to realize is a part of this process. And it's the blessing of the communication of the Holy Spirit. Because in John 16, Jesus says that it's the Holy Spirit who convicts us of sin and judgment and righteousness. That if we get a revelation, if we get in our hearts that Jesus is risen from the dead, that's communicated to us by the Holy Spirit. And for some of us, that might be the first communication that we receive from God. And you know what? It's meant to be the way that we live our whole lives. In the same way that you have an assurance inside of you of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, when you first understood that, when you first you heard someone say it or you opened your heart, whatever happened, you heard about it, and something inside of you went off like a bomb and you said, that's true, that's a revelation from the Holy Spirit of God. And it may be the first time that you have actually heard the voice of God when he speaks to you in your heart, in your spirit, and says, that's true. And it's meant to characterize the rest of your life, that you actually live that way, listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit. The other blessing I realize come out of this, the greater blessing, is that you, if you exercise faith and you understand that Jesus is risen from the dead and you get it in your heart, then you are now connected with the currency and the power of heaven. Because the currency and the power of heaven is faith. Faith that doesn't see with the physical eye, but sees with the heart, that grabs a hold of something that's not there yet, but knows it's coming because it's communicated by God into my spirit. And I know it's going to come to pass because God has said it. That is the currency of heaven. That is the power of the kingdom of God right there. And the way that you come to God in faith, believing because the Holy Spirit has spoken to you, is the way that we're meant to live. We're meant to live that way. We're meant to live with an assurance of what God is speaking into our hearts about our health, about our family, about our life, our provision, about everything in life. We're meant to be living that way, where the assurance comes from the Holy Spirit speaking to us. That's why I believe Jesus said, greater blessing is there for those who believe without seeing. Because for them has opened the whole doorway of the kingdom of God. It's awesome. How are you going to engage that great blessing? Let me give you four thoughts as I finish. How are you going to engage that greater blessing? Number one, I would say don't rely on your eyes. Don't rely on your eyes. Don't be looking for hard evidence. You're not going to find it by looking with the natural mind. You're not going to get a spiritual life by looking with a natural mind. At some point, Even though we can do all of that good, solid, you know, work and thinking, which I encourage you to do and I have no problem with, at some point, if you're going to please God, then there's got to be a step of faith in Him where you go beyond your natural mind and you engage with the Spirit. You have to. God is Spirit and we worship Him in spirit and in truth. You can't come any other way. Sorry, I know that you wanted to dictate to God how things were going to work out. He's God, you're not. It's really simple. And He says, I want you to come by faith. So don't rely on your eyes. I love the story in 2 Kings 6. Go and read it for yourself. But it's Elisha and his servant. And Elisha is a great prophet. And he speaks and calls down fire from heaven. All sorts of powerful stuff going on in this guy's life. And the enemies of his, they come to try to kill him. And his servant is freaking out because this army is gathered around. And the end of the story, Elisha asks God to make them blind. And he leads them into the capital of Israel. And he hands the whole army over to the people of God. It's an amazing story. But in the middle of it, he says, God, would you open the eyes of my servant? Because the servant was looking with the natural eye, not with the heart of the Spirit. And when his eyes were opened, he looked around and he saw the chariots of God and the angels of God. And Elisha said, there's many more with us than there are with them. Elisha could see it all the time because he wasn't looking with just the eye of the flesh, but he was looking with the Spirit and he had engaged the spiritual life. And so he knew that God was for him, and it didn't matter what came against him, but God would have his way. Just don't rely on your eyes. Number two, cut out the other voices. Cut out the voice of doubt. That's the big one that just jumps up straight away. As soon as God speaks to you about something great in your life, and salvation is surely the greatest, as soon as God begins to speak to you about that, doubt begins to rise up because that's our natural state. Cut out the voice of doubt. Can I say, even cut out the voice of salesmen? Now, I try not to be when we come to this, but, you know, we try to be convincing and encouraging and erudite and all that sort of stuff. But even if I'm talking to the gospel, if I'm telling you the message of Jesus today, even cut out that voice. You know, if someone is convincing, if someone is popular, if someone got some sort of dynamic about them and they tell you about Jesus and you go, oh, yeah, I love that, you know, that's fantastic. Don't believe because of them. Cut out that voice and let God speak to you. Let God speak to you. That's why I encourage people, read the Bible, open your heart, let God speak to you. Because it's got to be His voice and no one else. Number three, open your heart to God's voice. Jesus said simply, John 10, my sheep hear my voice. You cannot come to Him unless you hear His voice. I don't mean audibly hear His voice. I mean in your spirit, in your heart, you hear the call of God in your life. That's where it comes from. Open your heart to Him. And number four is read His word. I do want to finish with this. Jesus rebuked two of the guys that Jesus appeared to after He rose from the dead. He actually spoke to them and He rebuked them over something in their life. And you might say, I wonder what that was. Did He rebuke them for, you know, their unbelief? Did He rebuke them for some sin in their life that they'd done? Let's go to it, because Jesus reveals to these two guys who He is, and they get to realize, and He turns them around, and this is what He says, verse 25, Luke 24. He said to them, how foolish you are and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter His glory? And beginning with Moses, that's the Old Testament, you know, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, He explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning Himself. The last thing I want to say to us, if we want to open our hearts to really hear from God, if we want to open the eyes of the Spirit to communicate with God, the last thing I want to say is read the Bible. Read the Bible. I heard the testimony today of a fellow from the islands who is in prison in Sydney. And he's been in prison for the last 18 months because of drug smuggling. He was caught in Sydney, convicted, and now is in Sydney in jail. And this guy got a Bible. It was a Bible in his cell. And for I think it was 36 hours, he read the Bible from cover to cover. Amazing. Just read the Bible from cover to cover. And he said at the end of it, his heart was completely empty. He realized that there was a great emptiness inside of him. And he opened up his heart. He believed in Jesus. and he gave his life to God. And his word is this, it's just been reported. His word is this. He says, last 18 months, I've been free for the first time in my life. I just happened to be in prison. Amazing. That's what I'm talking about. Someone who has learnt to hear the voice of the Spirit of God. And they're no longer seeing with their natural eye, but they're sensing with their heart the truth of the kingdom of God. And I want to encourage you today to do exactly the same. Don't be smuggling drugs and going to prison. That would be bad. But open your heart and make sure that you're hearing the voice of the Spirit of God. Amen? Why don't we stand together as we pray today? Thank you, Lord. I bless you, Father God. Father, I thank you that when I was 13 years of age, you spoke to my heart. And beyond the things that I understood with my head, you spoke to my heart. And you drew me to yourself. And I'm thankful. I'm thankful. And I'm thankful that over the years, as I became an adult, as I went through education and all the things of this world, that you continued to speak into my heart the truth of who you are and the great and glorious truth of the resurrection of Jesus. And Father, I pray for everybody here today that that would be their experience as well, that there would be an assurance in their heart of the truth of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that beyond any doubts and uncertainties, deep in their heart, deep in their spirit, there would just be a knowing, an understanding that that's true. Jesus rose from the dead. And Father, I pray that you would just reveal yourself to everybody here today, that every one of us would know in our hearts that Jesus is risen from the dead. And Father, we come today in light of that belief to make our confession that Jesus is the Lord of our lives. He is the Son of God who is risen from the dead. We believe it. We know your Holy Spirit is speaking it to us, and we want to open our hearts to it today. If that's where you're at, if you know that to be true, if the Holy Spirit has been speaking to you and you know the resurrection is true, you know that Jesus is the Son of God, and you want to give your life to him, then we're going to pray really simply and ask God to forgive us for our sin and give our life to him. And if you're ready to do that, then I ask you to pray with us all together and make it real for yourself today based on what the Holy Spirit is saying to you. Let's pray together. Father God, I thank you for your love for me. I thank you that Jesus died for me. I ask you to forgive me for my sin. And I give my life to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. It's my prayer that this Easter Resurrection Day, that someone here today has prayed that prayer and actually given their life to Christ and said, God, I need you in my life and I want it to be real. The Holy Spirit has been speaking to you and you've opened your heart, and that's a wonderful thing. And we want to help you with that. I ask you to talk to the person who brought you today or come and speak with me. We have some material that'll help you to read the Bible and understand what it means to be a follower of Jesus. If you're serious about it, come and see us, get the material, start reading the Bible and start living for him. Because it's not enough just to believe. We need to move to that place where he really is Lord of our lives, and what we do in life is to serve him and to honor him. Amen? Amen. God bless you today. Have a great day.
We hope you enjoyed listening to this teaching from City Life Church. And why not join us on a Sunday? We hold multiple services around the Illawarra. For more information, go to www.citylife.org.au.